It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio the Citizen Lobbyist. Welcome, Citizen Lobbyist. I'm thinking that what we are going to do is something maybe the reverse. We sometimes start close and then go away and look at the bigger pictures of things. But why don't we take a look at Juneau? Because at this point, as we're talking, what we know is that the legislature has taken some actions that have brought smiles to the faces of people both at the borough level and the school district. What have you noticed that they have been doing? I'll tell you what I see.
Boy, it's a scurry in Juneau right now. But they have put some certainty behind education, that's for sure, which has not been the case for many, many years. I mean, I think it could still be argued it's pretty much flat funded because they've lost some years for inflation and not getting any funding. But at least they know at this point in time, before school ends, and I don't remember any time in recent memory, Mike, at least particularly last year, since there were four or five special sessions, that the school district has known this early before graduation what lays ahead for school funding. And, you know, some other bills that had significant impact to them with the ability to combine schools and that sort of thing. I mean, there was a lot of attention paid to education, which normally is sort of the last bartering chip, and that was sort of reversed this year. Yeah. What does your little microscope say?
Well, what I'm saying is that happened, that was promised early, and it was actually the forward funding aspect of it and the amount, and also, interestingly enough, combined with an action taken by the Borough Assembly to define a 6.3 mil rate of what was coming, means that even though the school board has been working with a tentative budget, they haven't had a completed budget.
Right.
They've got all the pieces waiting for the numbers to fall in. They're now pretty much ready to adopt a completed budget. And more importantly, go forward with some well-earned vacation, for example, in the summer, and knowing that as they prep for next year, pretty much people who are on the staff as teachers, et cetera, as well as in central administration, have much less uncertainty, if I could put it.
There is a little uncertainty, more uncertainty with our neighbors in Anchorage, whose teachers are very uncertain since they last year just signed a one-year contract, and now it's looking like there's some unrest there, although they do have some certainty of numbers to look at. Here, the bargaining units, the only one I think that hasn't settled is CEA or the classified workers. They still have that one on the table, even though they've settled with their teachers here in Mat-Su, so that contract's still up. But a lot more to look at as far as they should have known by now. I'm a little behind, but they should know what their projected healthcare costs are, and whether they've put aside enough money for that, because that's kind of a guesstimate too.
Right.
The legislature talked a lot about health this year, didn't do a lot, didn't walk the talk much. They did have some drug transparency bills that might sneak on through. There's a few of them that might just push through at the very end here, but no big, this is how we're going to bring down healthcare costs.
So the other big action that the legislature took, and it's also in this arena of money, was to have both the House and the Senate and the governor agree that there would be a 5.25% draw from the permanent fund that would be split between dividends paid to citizens who apply and the funding of government. The big deal about that, as I understand, is that just saying that you were going to split And each year, that year's legislature would make the decision. This year, for example, there's no surprise. If listeners are out there and haven't heard, we can tell you that you're going to receive $1,600 as your permanent fund dividend.
You're going to hear a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda of what it could have been, but that's what the set amount is agreed upon now.
And so that means that also along the way, I noticed, at least in the temporary zone, we see an increase in the price of oil, which means that the deficit will be a little less. And so those things are taken care of. And it appears that the legislature will be able to finish its work and come on back to campaign, because many people are running for office next fall. I'm curious about some of the bills, the individual bills, however, that you had noticed and followed. Is there hope for any of them, or what's the story there?
Well, I think you might be looking at me asking about SB 63, Mike, the smoke-free workplace bill that's been kicking around down there for 5 years, count them, 5 years. I'd have a kindergartner if I would have had a baby when I started working on that.
Right.
But it does sound like there is a commitment from both the speaker and the chair and a few other people that it will get on the floor before they adjourn. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be what everybody wants. The Rules Committee made some significant changes to it, some that are just not palatable to some folks. It's going to be interesting to see. One of them was a local opt-out. I'm not quite sure how you opt out of clean air, but that opt-out is in there. There's also an exemption in there for e-cigarettes and marijuana. So that can all change as they fight over it on the House floor. But at some form, there is fairly positive that they'll may get. It's sounding like Nate from the Hertz from the ADN even yesterday in his live Facebook report. What I really would recommend people Google or go into Facebook for ADN and look at Nate's report. It was really quite comprehensive on everything that was going on with the ADN. And Juno that he's reporting from. But he even gave it a shout out at the end and said he expects it to be on the floor later this week. So we will see. Breeze Law, I'm not so sure. Part of what I'm hearing is it will get through. It's the renaming of Aaron's Law. It's been really politically charged, a lot of it having to do with the parents, Bree Moore's parents. No real reason, just like the smoke-free workplace bill, lots of public support for it, but it's been a bargaining chip, and it's been trapped in Senate finance. And even if it gets out of there, it's still got to go to rules, and then it's got to go to the floor for a vote. So those two are the two bargaining chips have been. But the things that are they've been holding those as bargains are starting to go away. The one that you talked about earlier, Mike, with the PFD has been a big deal. So there's been less reason to hold them in committee. So we're just going to have to see. But it does sound like they're going to get done this week because they are anxious to get home. There's been some that have had to leave for graduations of their family members. And they're saying that this weekend is going to be it. But everything's subject to change, Mike.
Well, and it looks like there's possibility of a new way to get out of Juneau. I noticed, just revealed, was $21 million spent for further thinking, planning, whatever, about the road
Juneau access
out
road.
Of Juneau.
Well, the Kinnick Bridge got some money put back into it, too. Nobody said the budget was less than, but those are all things that people have to have in order to come out and knock on doors and say, I did this. Whether they'll stay in there, it's hard to say. But we are lacking. There's hardly no capital budget at all. So they're kind of needing to make some work. But we'll see. I mean, there is a lot of uncertainty. There is still some uncertainty whether there's going to be any infrastructure bill from the federal government. And that would bring some jobs here, but they've put some money down. There was some encouraging news about the gas line this week.
Right. You're referring to the signing of an agreement with BP.
Right.
So that they would sell the gas and at a price and, a real contract, not just what we're talking about, what might happen.
Right. So all those things seem to be having people perk up a little bit that maybe the economy is starting to go the other way. Maybe the legislators have just started making decisions. Maybe that's what's turning the ship a little bit.
Well, I noticed that a topic that was left, I don't have the details about it, but I know has been of considerable concern because we've seen at the last borough assembly meeting a lot of discussion about crime.
Right.
And certainly there were a number of legislators down in Juneau who have stood up and said what we did. In some cases, people who had voted for a crime bill can now come back and say, well, no, we need to change that. We're hearing a lot. It's either not going far enough or it went too far in a direction. And I don't anticipate, I'm not hearing that there's going to be a lot done, but at least there seems to be a little discussion, and it'll probably take into the next session before they actually do anything.
Yeah, they've plugged a few holes in it, but I don't know that I've seen a more misunderstood legislation for a long time. I mean, oil and gas taxes, I think, is pretty much misunderstood by everybody, and the PFD is hard to understand. But that crime bill, SB 91, that was passed, forced through, not this session, but last session, before an election, boy, it has really been maligned and not really well understood of the impact, and really didn't have a lot of chance to work in communities. But it does sound like the Walker administration came through, identified some problems with it, and legislators certainly had no shortage of hearing from their constituents about how it was going wrong, and they may have plugged a few little holes in it. But I don't think it's going to be off the table when this next legislature starts. But they'll be all shiny new. It'll be the start of a 2-year session that starts in January. Just about everybody is up for reelection, unless all the House, just a few senators won't be. So you're going to have, could have potentially some new people that have to get up to speed once the session starts the end of next January. And boy, that's always fun. And who knows what's going to happen after the November election on the federal side, too.
Right. Okay, so here we go. We're now down to talking about, the borough. Two groups of people at the last borough assembly meeting that were in talking very much about crime. And the borough is finishing up its work very similarly to the school district.
They passed the budget.
Yeah, they passed their budget
quickly, like one night.
Right. They're done. The school board will do theirs very quickly as well. And so we're on to let's go right on through then down to the city of Palmer. City of Palmer has coming up it'll be in 2 weeks, actually, because they played a little bit with their schedule. Mm-hmm. In 2 weeks, they will have another regular city council meeting. And at that time, having introduced, they will have a public hearing and a discussion about a proposed plastic bag ban. And I had time to look over in some detail all of the materials that were presented for the introduction. I saw a lot of people, businesses, individuals, and so on.
Support of it.
And I do not remember seeing anything that anyone said that opposed it. Hmm. So we'll see what happens between now and then and so on, but the discussion will go on. And, of course, the real question is, will the City of Palmer Council, which is, by the way, reduced to 6 members now, be able to do something?
So, right. Let's talk about that for a second, Mike, because, you know, I was in D.C. when all of that happened, when Mr. Hansen resigned and took a paid position with the city of Palmer. And so how is that? Is there a calendaring, scheduling? How is that going to roll out to fill that position? Are they accepting applications now?
Or? I would say to anyone who has an interest in being on the council lives in the city limits and would like to be on for a minimum of a few months, because what will happen is there will be an announced period where the council and the city solicits applications from people who would like to be chosen. Then the city will make the appointment. The council essentially will review and pick someone. And by the time that happens, you're looking at about—
end of June, right?
Right. You're looking at probably three and a half months that you would serve. But you wouldn't have to go through an election. But, of course, then you would also, if you have been chosen, and you're interested in retaining that position,
right,
you'd have to file immediately to run.
Right.
So, but you'd have this kind of built-in advantage where you'd be sitting there displaying your prowess while running for election. Mm-hmm. So if I look at this then carefully, some people have already begun to say, whoa, this could be a big change for the city council, because we know that there's that seat that will be up for election, and that will also only be to finish out the term that Mr. Hansen had.
That's
which
right.
Would be for 2 years.
For 2 years, right.
Then we have two other seats that are coming up for 3-year terms.
Right.
And then we also have the potential of the mayor, who has indicated that she's going to be running for some other position.
Right.
If she were to move off and be successful, I'm counting 4 out of 7 potentially new faces sitting up there.
Right.
And that's going to be interesting.
So the mayor has filed a letter of an intent to run for a state office, but a lot of people do that and don't follow through. They basically have till July 1st, I think, to really
actually do
make it happen.
Right.
Yeah, June or July, gotten with the state. So, yeah, potentially there could be a lot of changes there coming.
And, of course, we haven't even considered some of the other members of the council who might want to run for some other seat as well.
Right. The borough has 2 seats in question, will be up for question. Not any within the city of Palmer, though. So
no.
One is out by Trunk Road, and the other one is sort of Elmore Road, that up area up there. So Assemblywoman Barbara Doty and George McKee will both be up for re-election, see how that goes. So there's a lot going on. That's going to be a crazy, silly season. It's going to be nice to have a little rest before then, Mike.
Okay. Well, if you can call it that, because that will mean that the first week of October, we'll see the local elections happening. And it's always important, I think, to remind people of that,
right,
local so-called election that happens in October. And then we have a brief time in between. And sure enough, in November comes, and this year, as you've already pointed out, a significant amount of voting and selection, because we have all of those positions going to the legislature from the Valley, with the exception, I think, of Shelley Hughes.
Right. She was the senator ran last year.
Right. So now that's there. Plus, we get to look and play on the national scene, because we have, of course, our U.S. House representative candidates that'll be doing that. Don Young, been there a long time, but he has some challengers, at least from outside the party. I'm not aware of anything from within the party.
There is one. Oh, that's right. That's right. Not within the party. Haven't heard that either.
And then, of course, we have 2 U.S. senators, but neither one of them is up for re-election.
So, right. Senator Sullivan will be up year from now, I think.
Right. Something on that order. So that pretty much takes us as we look toward that time. In the meantime, what we can say to people is that we started earlier this week with a whole round of celebrations,
graduations,
promotions. Are you intending to be attending any of those, or do you have anyone?
I don't think so. I probably would have gone to Palmer, but I heard it was spilled over to the theater last night. It was so full. And Palmer is the only one that happens, actually, at Palmer High School. The rest of them are at Menard Center. So, by and large. So they're going to have a busy week. I know a couple school board members that are going to 4 or 6 graduations. So it's a pretty crazy time for them. But
the good news is that if you don't think you want to be in a crowd of that sort, or you might think you'd be getting there late and you have to stand outside looking through a window, all of these graduations are live streamed.
Oh, that's great.
So
Anchorage is doing that now, too.
So you can go to the Metsu School District's website, and you'll find the directions of what to do and make that happen.
Great.
Which reminds us also that for any of these discussions, I think regarding the budget, where they are, information about what's happened, both the borough and the school district websites have all kinds of good information. So you can get there, take a look, see what meetings are happening, et cetera. And I would invite all listeners to make sure that they check those things out. The thing that I think may be most useful of all of that I'm pointing to, however, is the agendas.
Right.
Whether you're going to the city of Palmer, borough or school district.
Read the agendas.
Read the agenda, because you'll pick up on things there that will not be surprising. Speaking of which, the last time there was a relative surprise, which brought out 110 people to a meeting, was a discussion about an aspect of the guidelines that allow certain businesses to happen in the city of Palmer. Mm-hmm. Although that agenda had been out, it was really a case where people hadn't looked at it mm-hmm. carefully and noted what was happening. So an update that I have about that is that at this time, my understanding is that U-Haul, which stood in a first position ahead of Valkyrie, another proposer, seems to be close to or having they've just taken another step forward to signing a contract with Kroger. Of course, we have another individual, an entrepreneur well known in the city, Richard Striken, who I understand is in some conversations with U-Haul to see if maybe there's room for more than just one thing there. It seems like the big property. Maybe that could happen. So we'll get more details. Yeah, as time goes on. Yeah. But we've covered a lot of ground. Citizen lobbyists, is there anything else you'd like
to? I want to give a shout out to Palmer resident, longtime community activist, volunteer, Janet Kincaid. And Janet Kincaid on Monday won the AARP Andrus Award, which is the highest honor, only one given each state, and there's only one Kincaid. And Senator Murkowski came. I've been working with the senator's office, and she came to Palmer and spoke to the Palmer Rotary, to a packed crowd.
Right.
She gave quite a good talk along with presenting the award in person to Janet Kincaid. So very proud of her. Many hours and years of service. It'd be hard to find anybody who had volunteered as much as Janet Kincaid. Very worthy. There are some nice pictures on the AARP Alaska webpage or Facebook page of the senator presenting it. And kudos for the senator finding it in her schedule to come here and to do that in person. That means a lot to somebody to receive it. I don't know that there's a lot of these awards given out in person by your U.S. senator. Another reason Alaska is so different. But she finally fit it in her schedule, and Janet was thrilled to have it. And it was a really good afternoon for all. And I think everybody in the Palmer Rotary really appreciated having it there, and also just hearing one of the best speeches I've heard Senator Murkowski give on just the state of everything
on. Do you want to, in a very quick fashion, perhaps share one or two of the high points?
I had seen her the week before because I had been to D.C., and she talked just about everything. But what she talked took some tough questions from the audience, I thought, where she normally doesn't go on immigration and resource development. And I just thought she did it with poise and elegance. I wish we would have recorded it. In hindsight, Mike will have to do it next time. But she has it's fair to say she has a very good handle on what's going on with a lot of different subjects. She's sort of been in the middle of healthcare. We know most about that. But she's really interested in Indian affairs. She's really interested in agriculture. She had flown up the energy secretary up here, who had been to Kodiak and Prudhoe, and talking to him. I didn't realize, and Kodiak's 95% on renewables now.
Right.
So a good cross-section of the way Alaska is. The agricultural secretary is coming up here. The Department of Labor Secretary is coming up here. She's going to show Alaska off and doing what I remember Ted Stevens doing when he was here, making the case how Alaska is much different than in a lot of different places. And when she has to step out and maybe cast a vote that isn't exactly the same as what most people would think in the lower 48, it's because we are different. So
very good.
Yeah, she did a really good job. Great job.
Okay. Well, citizen lobbyists, thank you for coming in today and sharing. And we'll look forward to getting more information as it all unfolds.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.